You are listening to the Race to 100 podcast, raising awareness of PTSD. Well, welcome if anyone's listening. our usual start, Simon in his Derek's. We're live on air.
Hey. You knew it was going to happen.
So this is the Race to 100 Marathons podcast and live stream, episode 12. And it's the first one of 2012. So I think it's a good time to probably go through everything about the challenge and introduce the three of us for people that don't know who we are. So, Simon, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what this is all about?
No, I thought you were going to.
Well, I can do the short introduction, but you need to do the long introduction. So Simon is an ex-soldier from Leeds who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder, also known as PTSD, and he's aiming to run 100 marathons in 100 weeks to raise awareness of the condition, as well as a lot of other things that you're doing, which you'll tell us all about, I'm sure.
Yeah, and Chris, who you just heard, 44-year-old from West Sussex, who's currently trying out the barefoot malarkey, as well as training for his first half and his first full marathon that's going to do with me.
And we've got the other Simon with us as well.
Hello.
Tell us a bit about yourself, Simon 2.
Well, I can't see the notes, so I don't know what you want me to say, so I shall go off script slightly. I'm a 32-year-old newbie runner, father of two, married to Caroline, and within the last 8 weeks, I became Simon's manager. So I look after all his commercial interests and sponsors and things like that.
Excellent. Well,
Can I just say, Happy New Year to everybody and welcome to 2012.
Yeah, Happy New Year. we have, as always, a website where you can find out a lot more about the challenge and what Simon are up to, and that is race2100.co.uk, race and then TO and the number 100.co.uk. You can see Facebook and Twitter links there, so you can follow us there and be part of the journey. So if you can tell us, I think, again, for people that are new to the challenge, if you can tell us, Simon, a little bit about your history and why you came up with this challenge, and then moving on to the next challenge as well.
Yeah, cool. So I actually was born in Leeds. I'm 39 now, but kind of in Romania, and it's not snowing at the moment, which is cool. And I was in the army for 12 years, from 89 to 2001. Went to a few conflicts. The worst one for me was Bosnia in 93, where after I came back, well, I saw a lot of atrocities and a lot of death out there. And when I came back, I started to suffer from flashbacks and other weird and wonderful things. Started to drink, or drink more than I used to do. As we all know, in the military, we drink a lot anyway. And then eventually I was discharged from the army in 2001 with what they called recurrent depression. And then in 2005, I was diagnosed by a psychiatrist in Leeds with post-traumatic stress disorder caused by military service. And then again in 2006 by combat stress. Through that period of time, I've had periods of time where I've been in hospital, struggled really bad with the symptoms. And I'm sure that I'll go into that a little bit more over the coming weeks, and we'll probably do something specifically towards the PTSD. But basically what's brought me towards this was I was trying to do a 100-mile run with a guy who's trying to raise funds for another charity, which was now, December 2010? And I just pitched up with no training, ended up doing 80 miles in 17 hours in -7 with snow, ended up in a hospital, thought I was half dead, but I wasn't, I was just giggling at them. and said, okay, what I'm going to do now. So originally I was going to try and go for the 100 miles again, but then that's just one challenge. So I scribbled 100 on a piece of paper, and then somebody said, why had I never done a marathon? Because I ran at army level in the mid-90s. And so somehow bizarrely came up with 100 marathons in 100 weeks, thought it sounded cute, that sounded nice, good for the media. And then started February last year, and I've just completed my 42nd marathon and should complete in sometime around February, March 2013. Also from this, obviously we've now got sponsors, and a lot of the sponsors have talked about some sort of future legacy out of this, that obviously the challenges are going to stop somewhere, or this challenge will stop somewhere, so we wanted something long term. So me and Simon and other people have talked about a PTSD foundation where we could continue to try and promote awareness of PTSD and do a little bit more, and maybe raise a bit of money for other charities out there, because I think basically I'm certainly going to carry on with the challenges, and Simon's going to be involved in some of the challenges as well. And in fact, we want to get other people involved in the challenges when we can't, you know, when we can't do them, whatever. So the idea is that the foundation will raise funds. We're hoping as well to create a PTSD pack, that when anybody's been diagnosed with PTSD, when they go to go to see a GP or psychiatrist, that they can be given it, and it can be written by people who have PTSD rather than probably NHS or working with a group of people. So we'd like to do that, and we'd also like to have the ability to have welfare workers that can go in to see people with PTSD and can, you know, help them with whatever needs they've got. Going forward in the future, because Simon's like a man that wants to like get ahead in this, although we'd look at all wonderful things around the world, but actually we were talking about going to America, but then obviously there's financial constraints and logistics. I think actually what we're going to look at now is we're going to look at running Ireland. So we're going to running from the north of Ireland to the south of the island, which I think is about 305 miles or something like that. And then we're probably going to take
that one.
Sorry?
That's new to me, that one. That's another one.
Yeah, well, it's easy, isn't it? It's just a jog, so we can get warmed up. Yeah, so I think we do that, Guinness, and then we're going to try and do it in the UK. Hey?
Guinness-fueled running.
Something like that. Yeah, so, and for people who are new to this, I'd never ran a marathon before I started this. I was fit when I was in the army, and then I think, like Simon will tell you, you come out and you just give up and you become a vegetable and whatever, and so it has been, although it looks like I'm steamrolling through the day, it has been extremely tough, and every single week tough. There's no money around whatsoever at the moment, and we're trying to build something from scratch with only a couple of us. It's hard, but it's very rewarding, and so I'm told many people, such as yourself and Simon and other people, have been inspired by what I'm doing. So I'm sure you guys will talk about it yourselves, but I think what keeps me going at the moment is not the lack of money or anything like that. The worry it's the fact that somebody out there, you know, may not die because of this or something like that. And you may have heard recently there was a guy who committed suicide on New Year's Day that was in the media. I heard his wife talking the other day; she was absolutely devastated. So at the end of the day, and he had PTSD. So the thing is, if it stops one person dying out there, then it's all going to be, I think, you know, we'll probably all accept that it's going to be worthwhile. So I think that's enough about me.
Right. So we have the other Simon as well, just to confuse everybody.
Initials.
And the same initials, yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your history as well?
Yeah. I left the Royal Air Force the same year that Simon left the Army, although I'd only served for 3.5 years. Just to back up what Simon said about becoming a bit more sedentary when you leave the military, I certainly did. I went up to about 21 stone at one point living in Aberdeen, compared to when I was a younger serviceman, when I was playing under 21s rugby, national level. So I left the Air Force in 2001, did the usual military thing and bumbling around stacks of different jobs. And then in 2010, in the July, my son Darren my eldest son, was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which, as a side benefit, if you like, meant that I had to give up work and had a lot of time to spend with the family and on my own fitness. It wasn't then until, I think it was about May of 2011, I bumped into Simon, because I'm the patron of Festival of Heroes, which is a food festival that raises money for various military charities, and Simon was running his 34th marathon there. I was there to present pork pies, and I think my opening gambit to Simon was, you look like a man who could do with some pie. So over a big slab of pork pie and a couple of coffees, we discussed the possibility of my helping out in some small way. And then a few weeks on, I've managed to secure a few reasonable sponsors, and have gone on to do more and more bits and pieces for Simon as we've moved forward.
I think you're underselling yourself a little bit.
Well, it's better to overpromise and, was it underpromise and oversell? But so it's been really challenging with obviously Darren's poorly. I've got lots of other things going on. I've got a couple of businesses. So doing this as well has been challenging, but very, very rewarding. And I've been inspired by Simon, who's now put together a nice training program for me to stick to. I managed to stick to it last week, but I've managed to pick up a virus. So I managed to get the run I should have done today in yesterday. So I'm not skipping my runs, and I'm really enjoying it. So potted history from Air Force to present day. I'm sure I've missed out lots, but pick up on that in the future, I'm sure.
Absolutely. My story's a little less interesting, let's say.
Don't undersell yourself, Chris.
Well, we just talked about underselling and overachieving.
I think you're an amazing guy.
But my background is I'm a techie propeller head. basically been involved in programming computers and starting my own business up over the years. And never really did that much running, but I always kept a little bit fit. But a couple of years ago, a friend of mine had just run the London Marathon and got me inspired to start running again. Never really thought I'd necessarily run a marathon, and I thought it was like completely amazing that someone can run for that long. So obviously things have changed watching someone do 100 in 100 weeks. But what I did was I started running, and then I had a few little niggles and problems and went through going to see a podiatrist and getting orthotics and all that little old malarkey, and ended up with an injury, and then started looking into why am I getting injured, and I stumbled across this thing called barefoot running. So what's quite interesting really is, although it's got nothing to do with the challenge necessarily, I'm doing something a little bit different in that I'm trying to train to do a marathon in barefoot shoes.
And is this because you can't afford trainers, Chris?
No, it's because the blooming things get me injured.
Just in case people don't know what barefoot running is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it doesn't make it any cheaper, because there's so many barefoot shoes out now that you think, "Well, I want a pair of those, and I want a pair of those."
It's more expensive, aren't
they? They are very expensive. But pure barefoot on English roads, you know, it's not going to happen, is it? It's blooming uncomfortable. So, So my story really is that I'm just looking to see how far I can go and what I can do. And I want to stay injury free, and I want to do a marathon, and I want to do Olympic distance triathlons, and, you know, and who knows what in the future, but I don't want to get an injury. So my journey is really to like go on the side of what you guys are, the massive thing you guys are doing. I'm also converting over to barefoot, which may be of interest to some listeners as well, hopefully. So I guess the next thing is to move on. It's been a while since we've done a recording. The last podcast was way before Christmas. And what have you been up to, Simon? Because a lot has happened.
Yeah, blimey, I was just actually trying to think what's been happening. It's been all right.
Well, you're not in the UK for a start, are you?
No, somebody thought I was in Luton, but apparently I'm not.
Well, that's not in the UK, is it?
I call it tiramisu, but it's actually tiramisoara in Romania. and it's like my own boot camp. It's brilliant. I think I've just looked at my jeans and the old belt, but I think I've had to add two new notches because of the weight that I've lost. And we're now doing this press-up challenge that people might hear about. We're all doing press-ups and planks. Oh, yeah, we're all doing that.
If people want to join in, we've created a couple of pages or groups, rather, on Facebook, which I'll put in the show notes on the website so people can come and join in. Also, we'll tweet it out, etc. But if you want to come and join in, then you just have to basically do... There's an app, isn't there, for phones,
yeah,
for the push-ups?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's... The aim is to do 100 consecutive press-ups, and there's different ways of doing it on different phones, be it Android or iPhone, but I think they get you to the same point at the end of the day, and then there's the plank as well.
And then we're doing a plank a day, yeah. I tell you what's quite funny.
And it's not competitive at all. No competitiveness.
I got caught by the plank police.
Yeah, what was that? Were you on the floor?
No, it's quite funny. What you do with the plank a day is you can tweet out with a hashtag, #plankaday, and they've got something that they monitor, and if you forget to tweet out or you haven't done your planks, the plank police come after you. It's quite
what do they do? Plank you?
Yeah, they just send you a tweet and you're with other people so that you're named and shamed.
I think I'm up to 65 now in one go.
65?
I'm doing about 300 a day. I'm aiming for 500. So I don't know what's going on with me. This Romanian air or whatever it is... or the chicken or something, or the milk, I don't know what it is, but it's going really well out here, and I've done two marathons already.
So you've done those kind of just locally, have you, off your own back kind of thing?
Yeah, going all over the place in weird and wonderful worlds. The second one done in there was still snow down most. I've been out again tonight and most of it's gone. Oh, it was sleeting again while I was out. But it's pretty clear. It's like cold, crisp days, but sunny. Up until a couple of days ago, really good for the running out here. My speed has gone up. Like my 5K was 25 minutes, and I'm now down to 21 and a bit. So obviously, I've got lighter, fitter, running quicker, doing more things, getting bigger. So I can't complain. But yeah, it was Christmas time is a bit of a struggle around me, and most people know now that my 2.5 year relationship came to an end in December, so I was a bit gutted with that. That caused a lot of problems. Simon and his family kindly invited me down to Norfolk. I think it's supposed to take about 4 hours. I think I got there in about 2 hours. It's quite cool driving down there. Had the feast of a king. I must say it was probably the if you ever want to go for a Christmas dinner, I can highly recommend it, as long as you're paying.
It was
a really kind, because I do struggle with Christmases, and it was a really kind gesture for Callie and Simon to invite me into, you know, a very private thing, especially with little Darren, you know, being in hospital last year. I felt quite humbled and honoured, and the thing, I think the thing to say in this challenge is you know, these things that happen, the people that I've met, you know, Simon and Callie and the kids being one group, you know, yourself as well, because just, you know, amount of people that you meet and the things that happen makes it all, you know, worthwhile. So I had a fantastic Christmas and Boxing Day we went to Cambridge, came back, had a couple of days and thought, I'm out of here. I've done it in the past before where I've gone away. It's been really good for me. I've started to settle down a bit now. And like I said, I'm blimey, I'm eating well. Everything is going well at the end of the day.
Excellent.
So I'm hoping to come back. I'm not sure. I'm probably going to do at least another 2 or 3 or maybe 4 marathons and get near the 50. I'm trying to get as near as possible to the 50.
And Dan Walker's just asked that exact question, actually, on Facebook. How long are you in Romania for? So there you go.
I don't know. Either Simon tells me I've got to come home or something makes me come home. And at the moment, I don't think either's happening. So I don't know, to be honest. It's been... You know, aside my emotional side where I've struggled recently, it's very good for me. It's very good for me to be here, and you know, I'm going to take it. I'll take it each day as it comes, and I'm training well and getting fitter. And if I can come back, you know, fitter and lighter, then I'm going to be more motivated in the day. So it's good. At the end of the day, it's good for everybody. Everybody needs me to be motivated and well. So if I could, you know, nobody's going to complain about that, and nobody has it. All my friends have supported me, including Simon. So it's a very positive thing, you know, for me to be doing this and for me to be out here. So I think we're trying to look at other marathons at the moment because, yeah, we've all had time off. We've all sort of like had our Christmas puddings and you know, done this and other kind of thing. And I think we're now just sort of like getting back into it. And I am now coaching a few people on the marathons, but you know, not as many as was before, but Simon's one and two of my other friends as well, on just like a very general thing. And I think at the moment life is a little bit slower for me, and it's I can't complain. It's really good at the moment.
Excellent. No, it sounds like it was something that you realised that you needed to do that, otherwise you just would have gone down even further, I think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, people have to remember that it doesn't just affect me; it affects everybody around me, and the person in the day that I love most, and you know, having the time and space at the moment is good for me and Susie. Talking again at the moment, and you know, she remains the person I most love, you know, in the world. At the end of the day, and I'd do anything, you know, anything for that. And if it means I've got to come away, and it means I've got to settle down, and this other, and I can be there again for my friends and family and this other kind of thing, then it's all very positive in the day. There's nothing bad in it at all. It might look to some people like you ran off or whatever, but it isn't. It's, I call it like, you know, going away to a little commune, hiding yourself away and coming back when you feel, you know, you've got all the rubbish out of your system. It's a lot happening, but you know, we're steaming towards the 50th and the halfway point, and I suppose we're just trying to get on with it.
I think, I mean, one of the things you do is you're doing your best, as we all know, to raise as much awareness as possible of PTSD, and that's the whole point of everything you're doing. But also, you know, being out there, you've got all this positive stuff going on, but it's still affecting you, isn't it? Because you were due to run a marathon last week, and you were unable to do that. So maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, that's... Well, there was snow that day as well, but I mean, that's down to the struggles that I'm having with, you know, the fact that I've lost a person that's supported me through thick and thin for 2.5 years. That on top of, you know, the daily symptoms, it adds to everything like 300%, and I'm not sure I can even explain where I went. Simon does know where I went at the end of the day, and here I still am. So all I can say is these things happen in the day, but I come out of it stronger, and I come out of it better, and I come out of it having learned something and a better person in the day. So in some small way, you know, I can't really grumble about that. But it's a bit difficult at the moment for me to honest to talk about that. But I hit a level, you know, like a low level that, you know, wasn't very, very good and very nice. And like I said, Simon knows where it was. And you know, I'm here at the end of the day, and I'm doing what I only know best. And that is, you know, get off your backside at the end of the day and get back out there. Do you know what I mean? And like I said, me and Susie are talking, still love each other. And it's another unfortunate casualty. And I think the piece I did for Chat Magazine, which I think that is out on Thursday in the UK, and that's the only place where she's actually spoken about what's happened. So I believe there's about 1 million people read that. So I'm hoping that'll be another, you know, good and positive thing. And again, I have to look at this. It's just a little bit more education for people as to what you can lose, I think, is, you know, kind of thing. But I've lost something, but I've gained something else. I've gained, you know, amazing people and friends around me.
Yeah, absolutely.
For which I'm very, very thankful.
And I think, I mean, you know, people that are new to this, the podcast, or listening in to the live stream, it's worth going back and listening to some of the previous podcasts, because it forms a bigger picture of what PTSD can do to you, because we've talked when you're in a good state of mind, and we've also recorded when you're in not such a good state of mind. And I think it's, you know, if you want to learn more about it, it's a good way to do that. So I'd recommend people go back, and you can get to those via the website, via the Race to 100 website.
Well, I think I recently said on my Facebook page on the 100 marathon page that I think I asked maybe I should just keep quiet about it kind of thing, and everybody said to me no, don't hide it. To which I do try to hide some of it, as you and Simon know. I do try to hide some of it and try to be brave, but at the end of the day, that's not helping the people that are struggling, because actually they want to see it, and they want to know someone's struggling, and then they want to know that they're overcoming it. So if they don't know you're struggling in the first place, how are they going to know how to overcome it? So me showing and being trying to be open about some of these dark times is upsetting to some people, but it's helping other people, because they need to feel there's somebody else out there. Else they're just going to see this big brave guy who's running marathons all the time. It doesn't affect him. You know a little bit. Simon knows even more how I'm affected by this. He stayed with me a couple of days. He knows the type of thing that happens now. He knows the point I get to. It's an education for people, and somebody has to talk about it, and that's what this is all about. This is all about the awareness out there. And just to point out, somebody asked me the day about people knowing about PTSD. Well, I did ask a group of 100 people how many knew about PTSD, and only one person knew what PTSD was. So I think that's says everything you need to know, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that vindicates what you're doing, if nothing else does.
Absolutely.
And one of the other, obviously, really positive things that you've got this year, now that we're into 2012, is carrying the torch for the Olympics.
Yeah, it's I think the official notification comes out sometime in March, but most of my friends and that now know. I think Simon's sitting there chomping at the bit, wanting to go to newspapers and all that. Look, we can't at the moment. We're seeing everybody else doing it, but we're not allowed to. But yeah, absolutely, it's a once in our lifetime honour. And for us, I mean, I personally look at it, yeah, it's an honour of the day, but I look at it, it's great for the, it's just going to highlight even more, isn't it? I mean, how many people are going to watch that or know who you are by the time it's finished? Everyone and his dog is going to know all around the world, aren't they? So I look at it as a great opportunity, and I look at it that I'm carrying that for everybody that has PTSD and everybody that has mental health condition. That's the way I'm going to look at it. Do you know what I mean? It's not mine. It's like carrying it for, sounds a bit cheesy, but it's like carrying it for everybody. But yeah, absolutely, it's an honour to be, to be picked out of the millions that could have been picked for it and applied. So yeah, that's it's going to be because by the end of this year, I'll probably be on 90 odd marathons somewhere around there, and it's going to be so close. And
yeah, that's true.
Who knows how big it's going to be, or where we're all going to be? Who knows how many marathons Simon will have run? You will have run a marathon. You might have run another one. Certainly, like when you are going down and when you are struggling with all the things that we all have going on in our lives, this is the time you turn around and go, well, look where we're gonna be.
Yeah, absolutely. Got a couple of questions that have come in actually on Twitter, both from LSCK3372. That rolls off the tongue.
Evening.
What have you enjoyed most on your challenge?
It's been meeting the people in the day. To me, it's all about the people, and we've tried to include people. I wouldn't have met Simon and Callie and the kids. I haven't met you, Chris, but I will do this year. But at the end of the day, we wouldn't have got in touch. I wouldn't have seen the efforts other people have made, because this, this challenge is not about me anymore. It's much far bigger than me in the day, and so I wouldn't have met all these people that have either didn't understand PTSD or are trying to understand it or are better, understanding it kind of thing. So for me, it's the people. There's no glory I see for me. It's purely the people that it's affected and the people that are now better because of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's another question. Have you used any of your army training as part of your prep for the challenge?
Well, there wasn't any preparation, so I think both me and Simon will agree, it doesn't matter how long you've been in. Once you've been through basic training, you have ingrained, you have courage, and you overcome adversity, you overcome problems, you find solutions. I mean, there's so many things that we can overcome. The easy way to answer it is, would I have probably done this if I had not been in the services and what I've been through? I think that would be a definite no. I don't think I'd have the guts or determination to do it in the day. So it's what you call upon, I think, when you're struggling. So when the mere, well, I say the mere mortals, when the, you know, when other people who haven't been through that necessarily are struggling and probably give up or are quite happy to step out of a marathon or stop training or something like that, I don't really understand that. I understand get on with it in the day. There are people out there far worse than me. I have to look at Darren and see that, you know, there's a little lad there that's ill and he's getting on with life and he's living a life in the day. So when I'm sitting here whinging, it's like very easy to look at somebody else and go, hold on a minute, you know, get on with it, Conning. So absolutely, I think if I hadn't have had that training, then I don't think I'd have done two marathons, maybe not even one.
Yeah, really. Right. Anything else you want to talk about this week?
No, get on with you guys. Enough about me.
Well, Simon, do you want to let us know what you've been up to since we last spoke on the podcast?
I think the main thing I've been up to is trying to get more marathons sorted out for Simon. I'm now looking at my email inbox, and we've got responses already coming back from places like Loch Avon Marathon, the Saab Salmon South Downs Marathon. So people are responding to the emails that Amanda Crozier's been sending out for us.
I thought you said Marathon de Saab then for a minute.
Hey, just drop that on you.
Oh, I think I've just
fit that one in.
Whoopsie.
No, so yeah. The main focus that Simon and I struck upon was that, you know, it's all well and good having great PR, great sponsors, great support, but if you haven't got marathons to run, it's all for now. So the focus has been getting those emails out, and there's a lot of been going out. I've been watching the activity on the admin email page. So it's now managing that. We've got some offers from a group called the Ride of Honor. It's an organisation, and their event is called the Ride of Honor. And they've got two events this year that Simon's been invited to attend and run at. One of which could have up to 10,000 people at Catterick Garrison.
Wow.
So there's things coming up this year that they blow my mind. So
hey, just to mention as well that I was speaking to Jenny from Anglo Info in Cyprus today, and she's speaking to I believe Episcopi base to see whether they can get me flown out there to run. I can't remember. There is a route that's 23 miles that they've got that goes between two camps.
Right.
I can't remember what it is. So
I'll have to have a look at that.
Yeah, and I said, yeah, that would be absolutely awesome, because, you know, we want to, you know, the thing to mention, I always get people saying, oh, the official marathons, and as we know, they don't have to be official marathons. As long as they're on 26.2, I've run 26.2. It doesn't really matter to me whether they're official or not. It was about how many other people can we get included? What's media savvy? What's going to draw attention? Can we work with the military? Can we get PTSD sufferers out there on these kind of things? So I think this year there's going to be more like park run type ones. Just been invited to do the York Park Run starts this weekend. I'd love to go to York. It's got a huge barracks there. I believe, yeah, no marathons equals... no challenge. Anyway, yeah, sorry to cut into you, Simon. Back over to you.
No, that's all right. That's in a nutshell. That's what I've been doing, is trying to get more marathons, coming up with ideas. I mean, this monthly military marathon backed by BFBS is British Forces Broadcasting Service, I think it is. That's something we'll be focusing on over the next 12 months, so that we can bulk up the UK based and, well, all the marathons. We will try and bulk them up with a military marathon. Try and get one a month. So that'll be another thing I'll be focusing on amongst the myriad of other jobs that Simon has been doing.
Yeah, excellent.
That's from me, guys.
Okie dokie. Right, what have I been up to? Well, I am now fully converted to barefoot. Yay!
Well done.
Yay!
I wasn't sure whether I was going to end up, you know, maybe doing some of my training barefoot and then carrying on with the shoes for the longer training. But it's been going so well that I decided to... I looked at my marathon training program and I needed to kind of take a step back in terms of distance, especially after you recommended that I don't burn myself out, son.
Yeah, sorry, did I?
Did
Did you listen?
Yeah, I listened. And one of the things I realised was that if I was going to step back and start my long run at about 6 miles, well, I was already nearly up to that on barefoot anyway. So what the hell, might as well go for it. What I found was that because I was doing my barefoot on the running machine, when I went out and did the roads and the trails, which were quite hilly around my way, is suddenly my calves were really feeling it again. And I've picked up a few little niggles, but luckily they've all sort of gone away within a few days. So, so yeah, I'm hoping. And I've ordered some Huaraches. Have you heard of those?
No.
They sound like some sort of Chinese meal.
Well, no, they're not. You can't eat them. You wouldn't want to eat them after they've been on my feet.
Oh, these are these invisible thingamajiggies from America.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically, if you've read the book Born to Run, and if you haven't, you should, because it's a great book. And it's all about these Mexican Indians who basically, they run all the time. I mean, it's part of their culture. They have this game where they kind of hit this ball with a stick or something down the mountains, and they go running for days on end. And they live on home-brewed beer and food.
Hey, I'm going there. Yeah. Let's get a marathon there.
No, it's great. And basically they make their own running shoes for when the ground's like, when you can't run completely barefoot. And I think they use something like pieces of car tire and string to make theirs. But these ones I bought as a kit from the US. I'm waiting for them to be delivered. And you basically have to drill your own holes and put the string and everything in. And you tie them to your feet.
String?
Well, it's kind of soft nylon and something else that you get with it. But yeah, so basically.
You've got your stringy Mexican Indian beer drinking shoes, and Simon's just got the new HMS Fleet on his feet.
Yeah. Bloody great canoes.
Ask him what size feet he's got, Chris.
What size feet you got, Simon?
Well, 14 and a half, Chris.
No way. There's no such thing, is there?
There is. They've got a plimsoll line around the back and an anchor port at the front.
Are you the missing link?
I have the missing link, yeah.
They're just going to put two of them and create a new channel tunnel.
Yeah.
So to avoid confusion, instead of Simon and Simon, we can call you Yeti now.
Yeah, you can call me Yeti if you want.
I thought I was bad. I've shrunk anyway.
Yeah, you said your feet have shrunk with all these marathons.
Yeah, at least half a size.
Wow.
Yeah. Good That's job crazy. Nothing else is shrinking.
No, half and a half. The old standing back down again. Oh, dear me. I've just been looking at these Huaraches, Chris.
Yeah.
You are certifiably insane, mate.
Is it just like a piece of cloth that's been sewed by someone in Taiwan?
Well, if you imagine a Trojan sandal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're not far. In fact, that's probably a little bit overdressed. I'm looking at some guy hoofing down what is essentially the side of a mountain with a little bit of rubber stuck to his foot.
So you're going to have your big white socks, Chris, that are pulled up around your ankles? And
No socks. I don't wear socks anymore.
Kind of Brighton thing.
Don't wear socks anymore. So, yeah, I've been doing that. And what I've done is I've started a video diary so I can look back and see how it all went. And I've kind of put a bit of that on YouTube. And it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I've done it as a documentary. There's a bit of fun. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to. And it's all going well, really, for me at the moment.
Awesome.
It's all going well.
So, yeah. Anything else we want to go through?
Yeah, how do you get rid of shin splints?
Oh, no. Have you got
shin splints? Actually, there's a guy just asked me about...
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. I was going to post the video from YouTube that I was watching. There's a guy from the States, and he was forever suffering with shin splints. And he developed a technique using a golf ball and a foam roller. So I bought a foam roller and I tried it today, and it is singularly the most painful experience of my life.
Oh, is that where you? Yeah, that's where the golf ball's in your butt cheeks.
No.
I don't even think I want to ask.
No, the golf ball's on the inside of you. It's on your instep. You stand on it and roll it around to massage the bottom of the muscle.
Ah, oh, that's right. Yeah, because it's the outer part of your foot.
Yeah, and then you foam roll your calf muscles, and then you turn over and receive a kick in the shins like you've never felt before.
Yeah, I've done foam roller. It's brutal. Yeah, it's very entertaining.
Yeah, I'm doing some more this evening, so you'll probably hear me in Romania.
Maybe we should keep broadcasting while you do it.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
A whole show now dedicated to foam rolling.
Yeah, Callie said she's willing to film me doing my self-massage. Well, you can take that.
The amazing things we can do on this now.
I think I need to click another option if you start doing that on this, so that people know what they're going to be watching.
Yeah.
We need to put you, Chris, doing your plank the other day on there, and I'm not sure whether that will scare people or what, because that did sound like some dodgy video by the time you'd finished.
Scared me when I watched it back.
Was that your missus or that who jumped over you?
That was my son. He came in just as I was trying to do it all privately in the other room, and he happened to come in.
Isn't that a contradiction of terms? I was trying to do it privately. I was videoing myself, and I put it on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
I get that. Really, yeah. private in the house, but just going out to all the other people. Yeah, I don't think I want to video the end of my plank or the end of my press-ups, because it is. We could actually put a whole video together of these sounds and noises.
Yeah, we should. You definitely need to start videoing some guys, so I can put like some comedy thing together with all the noises. But maybe we can make a theme tune using all the noises.
Yeah, somebody's got some good software for clipping sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some mileage in that.
Right, so
how's what are you up to on the plank, Chris?
Just over, I can't remember what I was up to now, three minutes, something, and I've got my form better now. So what I find though is if I do the push-ups, I can't do the planks for as long because my arms give in before my stomach.
Yeah.
So
the thing is with you, if you had a belly, then the distance you are from the floor, you'd be resting on it. Like, I don't even know how you can get that low.
That was that one. I'm better at it now.
Plank form. What are you doing your plank, Simon?
Yeah, I've got to do one tonight after I've done my push-ups.
It doesn't sound like some weird, hello, I'm Simon and I do planks.
Yeah.
In about 6 weeks' time, we're going, yeah, do you do your plank? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do your press-ups? Yeah.
Forget the three musketeers. We're the three plankers.
Yeah. I must say that the planks have now dived, but the press ups they're just going I can't stop doing them.
I'm struggling with those
all the time.
I've got weedy little arms.
Yeah, so you're
anyway, let's get back to the marathons. What? So you're going to do another one there when?
What day is it today? 2 days time, and then another weekend.
Great.
43 and 44.
Wow.
I'm going to try and get as close to 50 as I can.
Really?
Before I come back.
So you'll be ahead.
It depends. It depends what's happening in the UK.
Sure. But you'll be ahead if you do that, won't you?
I should be. I actually don't know.
And you're gonna try and use Ustream now to record some like daily diaries as well, or at least do some little updates on there as well, are you?
Yeah, I can do. I can, once we work this out, I can do a daily thingy-majiggy blog. In fact, we all can. We can all do a daily marathony typey man flu type thing.
Yeah, definitely do that.
Excellent.
Yeah, we just need to see what's coming out on the marathons. There was a period of time over like December and this other where it's just. I think we. So we were all like doing them things like spending time with our families and things like that, and it's hard to get back going again in January.
My family thought I was an absolute loony because we had Christmas Day and had all the food, and I didn't drink too much actually. But 11:30, everyone had gone to bed apart from my wife and my mother-in-law who was staying over, and I said, "Right, I'm going out for a run now." I put my head torch on and went out the door for an hour.
Good man.
Well, Callie did go for a run on Christmas Day.
Did
at the 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, where he was.
Yeah, it's good actually. It was nice. It was so quiet out. It's beautiful.
Love anyway, it. Let's get out here in the snow.
Anything else we want to cover, or are we? Is that it for this show?
I think people have gone to sleep. Who's awake?
I might have to...
Who's alive?
Oh, yeah, it just dropped down from 3 to 2 people. Right, I suppose, well, we'll obviously this will be a podcast as well, so if you're listening via iTunes or whatever, then we'll be recording, probably going to make this regular now, aren't we, to try and do it 9 p.m. UK time on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which I think is much better for everybody, and hopefully people will start listening to the live stream, and it will still be available as a podcast as well, so... thanks, guys, for your time. Do you want to go through any thanks or messages or anything like that, Simon, this week?
My thanks are always the same. Thanks to you guys for supporting me through 2011. Doesn't matter when you met me at the end of the day. The support's been amazing. Thanks to everybody that sent messages of support, especially in the last couple of days where it's been tough again. And then thanks to... all of my sponsors and volunteers and the people that, keep this thing going, tough as it is every single day. We keep going.
Absolutely. And as always, as we said before, you can find out more information about the challenge, about Simon, at race2100.co.uk. That's with the T-O and then the number 100.co.uk. Links to Facebook and Twitter on there. There are a few videos and things as well. And links to all the previous podcasts, which I'd recommend you go back and listen to if you haven't heard them. So, until next week, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Yeah.